Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the January 22nd, 2025 meeting of the Island County Council of Governments. We do have quorum because we have online, we have here in the room, there's Martin Vanderpas and Melanie Bacon, and online we have Janet St. Clair and Kurt Gordon. And I'm told that four is quorum for this meeting. Oh, Kennedy's there. Great. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning. Sorry, I'm a little tardy.
No, I'm glad you're here. You joined us. So I'm going to turn down my telephone. Can we have approval of the minutes for October 23rd? Goodness gracious, it's been a while since we met. October 23rd, 2024.
I moved it.
Go for it.
Martin moved and Kennedy seconded.
I second.
Thank you. All in favor of the approval of minutes?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay. Next item is appoint a 2025 COG chair. And currently our deputy chair is Mr. Gordon. Mr. Gordon, were you interested in being the chair of the COG next year?
You know, I'd do it. I was kind of looking hard at the IRTPO. I want to be able to help there. So I'm open to whatever, I guess.
Okay. Is there anybody who's interested in chairing the COG 2025, I guess I should say?
I might just add that chairing the COG involves trying to set up programs, and there's only about 10 months out of the year that there are meetings, but you need to try and work with staff to set up programs. It's a pretty thankless job, but maybe one of you newbies could step up, like Kennedy.
I aspire to be more engaged, and I'm still in a position where I would underwhelm everyone, and I don't want to do that.
Kurt, but I'm happy to help if you need a vice chair or you want to be vice chair. I've done this before. This is familiar to me. I just need to have backup for days like today where I'm not feeling well and almost didn't show up. I'm heading into the urgent care clinic later.
Jesus.
Are you throwing your name in the hat? You're basically saying if you have
I'm wanting to have some regional conversations, and I feel like you and I work well together. So it is a conditional hat throwing that you have to stay in the role you're in.
Okay, no problem.
And we'll do it. We'll team do it. You know, one chair, okay. One vice chair. We'll team up.
All right.
I've done it before.
Well, that sounds good. Oh, well, good morning, Molly. Excellent.
So, Molly may want to do it. She was late to the meeting. Let her know we appointed her.
Molly was chair a few years ago.
I've been the chair for 2 years. On my way walking over here, I was thinking, this is the meeting.
This is the meeting.
Jill Johnson always comes to once a year and throws somebody under the bus to be chair.
I do need to say, though, Kurt, you said you're interested in the IRTPO. Jill has indicated that she's interested in remaining chair in 2025.
Well, that makes it even easier. I can help Janet, or Janet can help me, either way. I don't, however you all want to nominate, it works for me.
What, no one wants to be chair for COG?
No, we're just, it's
they're willing to do it. They are both.
Yeah,
of them.
We're fine, but we wanted to just offer that you should never be late or miss a meeting.
Especially to this one.
Okay, Kurt, you're willing to be chair of COG in 2025?
Yes.
Thank you. And Janet, you're willing to be the vice chair?
Yeah.
Okay, so we have a chair and vice chair. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Kurt.
Thank sure. you, Kurt. Salmon Recovery Technical Citizen Committee. Janet, you probably know more about this than I do, because I know nothing about this except that the COG has to appoint this position.
Jen Schmitz,
she can also talk to it too.
Yes, and last year I missed a meeting and was appointed to CERTEC and never found out about it until well after the year had pursued, because I didn't realize I'd been appointed to it. So I think the best person to talk to is Jessica and Jen.
Okay.
Yes, okay. Jessica Reed
is our new salmon recovery coordinator. Many of you have worked with Clea Barenberg for a long time, and she left the county at the end of the year. And Jessica Reed, who is currently on the DNR team, moved into that position. So it was a pretty seamless transition, which we're really excited about. She had time to work with Clea for a couple of months and provide that transition. So that was excellent for our team. And she's here today to give an overview of CERTEC so that all of you know more about it and can appoint with the knowledge of who might be the best fit.
All right. And I have a little bit of a slideshow thing, if I can share my screen here. So CERTEC, which stands for the Salmon Recovery Technical and Citizens Committee, is hosted here in Island County. Every RIA has some sort of committee like this. The RIA is a water resource inventory area that's determined by the Department of Ecology. There are 62 of those in Washington, and Island County is RIA 6. In 2005, the Board of County Commissioners approved the RIA 6 Multispecies Salmon Recovery Plan, and its purpose is to identify actions needed to recover salmon populations which use the nearshore areas of RIA 6, especially listed species such as Chinook. It also is to develop a framework for implementation of actions that have been agreed to by community stakeholders and local, state, tribal, and federal governments. This is just a map here of the different lead entities. There are 15 responsible for implementing their watershed chapters. RIA 6, and the lead entity for that, we just happen to be lucky in that Island County is our watershed. There are many other watersheds that span multiple counties, which make things more complicated as there are different governments and things responsible for their areas. And the lead entities are groups that develop local salmon habitat strategies and work with sponsors to develop projects for salmon recovery. So the lead entity, as I said, it's a committee group. The group is made up of a coordinator, which is myself, and then local community members and technical experts. The group is made up of just general citizens and the public, as well as business representatives, people from the, say, conservation district, fishery enhancement groups, and local government. There are 26 currently in Washington, and they perform an essential role in salmon recovery for locally based recovery efforts. The lead entities are established in and supported by law and our RCW, and it's funded by Washington legislature and federal government through the Salmon Recovery Funding Board. The Washington State Recreation and Conservation Office reviews the projects that are submitted by the lead entity groups, and they hold those contracts and distribute funding for the projects. The role of the CERTEC members is we meet monthly to discuss potential projects, ongoing projects, and any proposed projects. We solicit, develop, prioritize, and submit habitat protection and restoration projects for funding to the Salmon Recovery Board, called the SURF Board. We attend site visits once a year to view the proposed projects seeking funding. This year, there is one project that is proposed, so that would be a fairly short site visit. We determine the likely viability of a project before sending it to the Salmon Recovery Board and the RCO office for final approval. And we provide local knowledge to guide projects as well. That's the end of my project here. So essentially right now we have one vacancy on the CERTEC committee, and that is role of a COG member. So that is why we're here today, to see if any of you would like to join the committee.
So I have some questions, but does anyone else have any questions for Jessica first? So my questions, Jessica, I'm just, so there's 26 members and they meet once a month. That seems like a lot of time. And you're saying there's only one project in the whole state at this point?
There are not 26 members specifically. There are 26 lead entity groups in Washington right now. So we have, I don't know off the top of my head, I think there are roughly 15 to 20 members, I believe, on the CERTEC committee right now for Island County. Not everyone is able to join every month. We meet online every time. And most of the folks that come to those site visits are generally like our chair and our vice chair, who one of the vice chair is, or the, I'm sorry, the co-chair is just a citizen. Another co-chair is a member of the Tulalip tribes. They provide just general guidance on, you know, when we go out and we look at a project and kind of see on the ground if something would benefit salmon recovery, if it would be better suited for other funding. It just kind of depends on the knowledge of the members at hand for different advice and guidance for projects.
Janet, you have a question or comment?
If you're not, go ahead if you have other questions, Commissioner.
No, what is the project that's current, the one project? What is it?
It is a land acquisition request, and that's through the, that would be Camino Land Trust.
Okay.
So far it's just a proposed project. They've submitted a letter of intent. So there isn't an actual application that has been submitted yet or anything. Those are due next month. So right now it's just kind of in the feeling stage. They talked to us at our last meeting last week, and we kind of gave them, the members of the committee just gave them some advice on potential questions that could come up in an application submittal.
And my last question is, can you remind me how the CERTEC is funded?
It's funded through the Washington State Legislature.
With what kind of budget?
That's a great question.
It's National Estuary Project funding, which comes down through Puget Sound Partnership. And one thing that's important to note about the funding for this program is that while it comes to the CERTEC, and funds the salmon recovery position, the money itself to actually fund the projects does not come through the county and is it not administered by the county, which is an interesting sort of division of funding there. So it helps us fund the position and fund the work. And then we're able to collaborate with many entities to have the higher level funding from the state go to the projects.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Can I ask a, so the higher level funding, I mean, is it to the level that you could do like stream restoration or something like that in terms of a few $100,000 project? Or is this, what is the sort of the extent of these? So basically using the funding here to be able to go out and get grants at a higher level. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Jess, do you want me to take that? Or do you want to go ahead?
No, go ahead.
No, it's not necessarily to pursue the grants. The money is there at the legislative level for, it's a very, very large funding pot, many, many millions of dollars that all the lead entities bring their preferred projects forward for consideration at the state level. So the CERTEC kind of vets all the projects that may come in. Jessica mentioned there's only one this year, but last year there were four. And so the chances of bringing, or actually maybe even more than that, but four of them made it to the level where the viability and the applicability was so high that the CERTEC wanted to bring all of them forward for consideration. And then at the state level, they rank all the projects that come in from all 26 LEs in a funding pile for their hundreds of millions of dollars that they can give out for acquisition, including, you know, matches. If anybody brings forward matches from the various partners, they take all of that into account and then fund it. Each year, there is a different level of funding from the legislature. You may have heard, you know, Climate Commitment Act funding was kind of up in flux. We've got funding, there's large cap and non-large cap, which just means large capital or non-large capital or large sums of money. So each year there is a different sum, but it is a substantial amount of money that is then split across all of the LEs based on where they have promoted their preferred projects through the CERTEC process. If that.
So just to reiterate, this the CERTEC is funded by NEP. Doesn't make recommendations on projects across the state. It makes recommendations on projects in Island County to move forward. They make recommendations that go to the SURF board. Remember what that, I get so caught up in acronyms.
Salmon Recovery Funding Board.
Yeah, and then much of these large cap projects also ended up being braided with other sources of funding in order to actually create the projects. Examples in the past might be the Sunlight Beach restoration work. It might this project by Whidbey Comanche Land Trust, I believe, is out in the Gateway, and it is they're in the process of doing a large scale estuary restoration work like they did at Lekway Island, and it's really sort of extending the restoration work and the salmon recovery gains we've made for that particular watershed that will then help leverage and expand the amount of Chinook. We're already getting good gains out of that. The Stillaguamish lost 85% of their stock over the last couple few decades. So this is, that project has been a priority for the Port Susan Marine area for a while to continue. That Lekway, this estuary, Zizabaugh and others. My question is, because I sit at the Ecosystem Coordination Board and I have a different role at the Puget Sound Partnership, do I conflict out on this?
No, I don't believe so, because there are actually several LAO coordinators like myself who also serve as the LE. So the LE and LAO groups are meant to work closely together, as well as all the other groups within Puget Sound Partnership. And your Ecosystem Coordination Board posting actually makes you, you know, highly qualified to weigh in on what's happening with the salmon recovery.
I want to raise this up because things like in Langley, the Saratoga potential passage, fish passage at Saratoga, is a project on the radar in Island County that has interest and capacity. And one of the things for us as a group to think about is the challenges we have in getting projects done because of mitigation. And so this is where my policy political hammer is going to show up, which I've been pushing at the state level, that we are able to mitigate in a different, broader manner, so that if I have to do a flood mitigation project on a road in Langley, I don't have to do the restoration in Langley. I could do the restoration in a different part of Island County. So there's very constricting pieces. And so I think about these projects a lot in terms of the greater ecosystem of problems we're trying to solve. But I was just an idiot last year when you guys appointed me to it and totally didn't realize I was appointed to it. So you may want to appoint somebody who knows what committee she actually sits on.
Kurt, did you have something else you wanted to say?
No, I think she answered the question. I was just wondering what kind of local projects could be, you know, in terms of potential cost. I mean, I know I did a salmon restoration project in Glendale Stream, and it was a couple $100,000 project 10 years ago, and I'm sure it'd be double that now. And I'm just was curious the type of projects that might come across. Now, I think Janet would be great for this job, and I think she just sold herself, actually.
Kurt, I'd like to make sure that we're more intentional about this as a group, because as Port of South Whidbey does expansions and improvements, what can happen, for example? Is there something we can do that improves the shoreline around? You've got a massive capital improvement plan happening at the Port of South Whidbey. Maybe that's it. When Kennedy looks at what they need to do on mitigation and flood resiliency or climate resiliency in Langley, how do we get leverage with the state and tribal entities so that we can get the work we need to get done, but also marry that with our salmon recovery effort? So I've gotten more interested in this, and I promise not to be a flake.
I nominate Janet St. Clair for the position.
I second that.
Is anyone else interested in this position? At some point, Martin and Kennedy, we're going to start making you guys do things too.
So I'm sitting here guiltily recognizing that I had made a commitment that I was going to figure out how to get representation on the LIO. So I originally saw this agenda item confusing the two, because Janet, I'm at least a year behind you in terms of the committees. So
Kennedy, please come to the meeting at 11, which you're also invited to. That's the LIO meeting. So please.
I know,
come
I've to been that. I've been trying to. So I am trying to do the right thing.
No, we know you do the right thing. Yeah. All right.
So what is she saying? She wants to be nominated for it? Kennedy, are you saying you want to be on this?
No, I'm saying I really need to. I'm trying to get another council person to represent in another. Okay. Commission, so that I can then attend the LAO. And okay.
Okay, great. So there's a motion made and seconded to appoint Janet to the CERTEC. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, and
thanks, Janet.
And Sabrina's nodding. So
looks, before we move on, I have one more ahead. Question about Martin. It. You mentioned that you had one letter of intent for this year's grant funding and you haven't received the full applications. Is that program still open, or is the deadline passed to submit a letter of intent?
The deadline is passed to submit a letter of intent for this grant round, but there's a grant round every year. This year happens to just be a smaller pot of funding, so that's why we don't have very many applications. But the essentially projects on radar for future grant funding is, you know, we had folks from Max Welton actually speak at our last meeting about potential sponsor help, which wouldn't necessarily be for this grant round, but for future grant rounds potentially. So if there's any ideas for funding or something that you would hope for funding for, you know, anyone is welcome to come to the meetings, the CERTEC meetings every month. They're on the third Thursday, and we have the Zoom link on the SAM recovery portion of the Island County website.
Okay, thanks.
My only constraint is making sure that it doesn't conflict with existing board meetings. So we may have to have some flexibility there.
Yeah, just let us know. All right. I have just one more thing I want to say, and then I'm going to turn it over to Kurt to finish off the meeting, I think. The first thing, and the thing I wanted to say, is that you received an email from Michael Jones having to do with Merchant McIntyre, and we're looking for letters of support for the for a federal grant, and we put it on the, we just thought about putting on the COG, even though it belongs on IRTPO, but the IRTPO meeting has a long agenda. But we're going to do it on IRTPO anyway. So you don't have to worry about the email you got from Michael Jones at this meeting. We'll talk about it at the next meeting. And so Kurt, as your new chair, do you want to continue on? We have three more items on the.
You know, if you could just finish, I'm way out of town, and I didn't print the agenda, and I don't have, like, I could bring it up on my phone, but why don't you
it's
just,
okay.
You're doing a wonderful job. Just go ahead and finish it out.
All right.
Thank
Thank
you. Melanie, I'm sorry that I was late, but I do have two quick items that I want to share with
Okay.
The
We'll make sure we'll have plenty of time for that, Melanie.
Okay.
So the next thing, it just says audit invoice on here. Is there anyone who's prepared to talk about audit invoice?
I can answer to that.
So Megan is Reed is going to talk about it. Go to a microphone.
This is our annual.
Megan Reed from our office.
So you all received an invoice voucher that is from the state auditor's office for the 23 audit. We just got the bill for that. If you see on the left-hand corner, you'll see your portion. We do need to do it like we did it last year. You will make the check out to the state auditor's office. That's on the top left-hand corner, the remittance address. And send that to my office, and I will mail it to the state auditor's office.
So when you say you, you're talking about the jurisdiction. Each jurisdiction has responsibility.
Yes.
Okay.
Did you send that to the Port District office?
I sent it with the agenda and also the minutes.
Anita sent directly to our clerk.
Okay, I can do
like
that.
Invoices so she can resubmit back.
Sure.
Again. Could you do that?
Okay. Yes, I can do that.
Sabrina, do you have it?
Sorry, my mouse was not clicking with me. I am currently checking to make sure that the mayor received it because usually those items go to his email address. So I will confirm that with our staff.
I can make sure that it's sent directly to each office.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Could you repeat where I should be looking for this? It's email and it was it attached to the invitation for this round?
It was attached to the email I sent out with the approval of minutes and the agenda for today.
Okay. If I can't find it, I'll reach out directly.
Okay.
Thanks.
Any other questions about this? Great. Thank you. Thank you, Megan. Appreciate it. Next item is other items of mutual interest, and we're going to go to Ms. Mayor Hughes.
Thank you. Hey, guys, I just wanted to bring to everybody's attention two items that we have all talked about several times, and we have listed on our 2025 legislative priorities. Were you guys all aware, and I hope some of you responded, to the State Attorney General's office when they were asking for input on some changes that basically the press wants to make to the Public Records Act model rules, proposed changes to the model rules. So it's not really to the law, but it's to the model rules. I see that Sabrina's shaking her head. Did you guys respond to it?
We did. We did a detailed letter. We work with our police department. We've had these conversations before, and since it is one of our legislative priorities, we made sure to respond.
Okay, so basically, we missed meetings at the end of last year because of the holidays. And so the actual legit response time for these particular model rule changes has already expired, but we just all need to really pay attention to this stuff. Cause here we're talking about wanting the state to, make some changes to the public records requests that will help us as municipalities. And these particular model changes just make it worse. And so basically what it is, it's the press basically saying, when we put in a public records request, we want to jump the line. We want you to answer us immediately. It's so they can meet their deadlines. They don't say that, but that's what they're saying. They're saying that if somebody turns in a request that's easily filled, which isn't defined, that their request should go first and it should be filled really quickly. And they're using justification like transparency. And they're saying things like records requests should not be delayed because you're doing them in stages. Well, sometimes we have to do them in stages. I mean, sometimes pretty much I'll tell you that a big justification for the town of Coopville going from 16 employees to 17 employees was for these public records requests. And that's really sad. And now the press wants to jump the line. And they also threw in a weird thing about another proposed change was that once a public record request had been filled and it's sitting there, normally kind of what we do is if it's sitting there for 30 days, we consider we're done with it. We have no further obligation. They don't like that. They don't want they don't want us to use that 30-day rule. They want us to, they're putting the onus on the municipality to contact until they get a hold of the person that requested it. So, I mean, it's a double whammy from both sides. It was just really, you know, transparent what they were really asking for in my mind. So anyway, we responded to this also, change by change by change. I can ask Megan to send our response to all of you. Like I said, it's technically missed the deadline for the input, but it doesn't mean that you can't still follow up with your, you know, with the Attorney General's office and make a comment about this. And I would just like all of us, because I would really appreciate this, if you guys get requests for input on things like this that were on our legislative priority list, please, you know, ask Megan to maybe send it out to all of us so we don't miss it in the future. So that was my first thing. The second thing was, I don't even know where I got this. I think I printed it out of the AWC newsletter. Mm-hmm. But this is a little two-page pamphlet that somebody has created, and it's endorsed by a lot of people. And what it is it's reasons why we as municipalities would like the property tax cap to move from 1% to 3%, which is also something that is on our priority list. And this wasn't really asking for anything, but it has, you know, it has the backing of Association of Washington Cities, Association of Washington Counties, King County, different cities, Berrien, Shoreline, it's got Association Washington Fire Chiefs. There's a couple police organizations on this whose logos are on this, Washington Commissioners Association. So this wasn't really asking us to do anything. But when I saw this, I thought, oh, shoot, you know, this would have been a good thing for Island County to have been on as a supporter of or our individual municipalities. So, again, I just wanted to bring this to your attention. I don't know that how to do anything about this, but you know, like if I would have known about this in advance, I would have been happy to put our logo on this and bring it to the Council of Governments and the rest of you to make sure you knew about it. So those were just the two things I wanted to talk about.
Can I comment?
Yeah.
Thank you, Molly. We have had a discussion at COG about this, and Washington Public Ports Association is also backing the 3%, the 3% increase. And we have Ports Day coming up, so that's something we'll just talk to the legislators about. But my question about the Attorney General thing, would that take a legislative action, and should we be talking to our legislators about that as well?
Well, that might be the one thing I'm not really exactly sure on. They're not asking to change the law. They're proposed changes to model rules for implementing the Public Records Act, which is, a little bit different than changing the law.
The rulemaking, you're right, Molly, and you pass the law and then they do rulemaking, but the rulemaking is really important.
Right. And so I really don't know, Kurt, is that who we should be talking to? After we sent ours in, and then I asked Chris to make a copy to bring today, as I was walking out the door, I thought, did we send this to Clyde and Dave? And I don't think we did. You know, we should be including, I would think it never hurts to include your state legislators on this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. So does the Attorney General's office create these rules? They seem to be the ones that are in control of the public records.
They're the ones that ask for the input. Yes.
Yeah.
Janet.
I would like to see copies of that, and thank you, Molly, for raising this to my attention. I did not see this request from the AG's office for input, so appreciate it. I assume on the 1%, the Washington Association of Cities is taking a stance. So is Washington State Association of Counties. I believe it made our legislative priorities. So both of these, probably I'd like to make sure that Commissioner Johnson's aware, because she sits on LSC, so that we can lean in using the full weight of our affiliations in not allowing what feels really onerous and unfair, right? It's not if Sabrina gets in line and asks for a public request, She has the right. There's no prioritization. It's about all of us are constituents. Sorry, Sabrina, you raised your hand.
No. I was just going to say to second that, I don't know if you guys saw in the Whidbey News Times, but there was an article about this public records thing. And I think in the past, when we at City of Oak Harbor have talked about public records and some of the things we're doing around that, whether it's applying for grants and other things, sometimes that gets misconstrued in us trying to make sure that we're creating systems or following the rules. And again, to what you're saying, Commissioner, that we are actually keeping people in line with the requests that are coming in. And I think the harder thing that we realized in responding to this is sometimes, you know, whether it's body-worn camera footage, where it's very detailed and we have to do a lot of review and editing and redacting for those because of the requirements around them. We have received requests recently that are, you know, 30 items deep, and then we're doing it in phases. But the other problem is people don't pick them up. And so we're spending a lot of staff time, and we're hearing that consistently from other organizations that, you know, you spend the time and there's nothing picked up. So, you know, where is the time invested that staff could be working on things? So I agree that this is a big issue. We are happy to share our letter as well. And I do not recall to the conversation whether or not we included our electeds, but it is on our legislative priorities as something that we are continuing to talk about and work on.
I remember when I was the HR manager or HR director here at the county, we had this extraordinarily onerous public records request that was part of a union negotiation. And they asked for 35 very complicated things. And we filled this and nobody ever came to pick it up. And it was made really clear to me that this was being done in order to hassle the human resources department and hassle the county. If I make a public records request, the onus on ensuring that that is completed should be on me. It shouldn't be on I have the responsibility to go pick it up. The entity that I asked it of should not be forced to have to keep nagging at me to come pick it up. That's insane.
When Washington State Association of Counties considered and did our research on efforts over time to revise the Public Records Act, there was a period of time 10, 15 years ago, they tried, they got very close, and then at the 11th hour, the press got really nervous. And of course, the power of the press is pretty, and they shut down the public records reformation work. So we've talked about this, but one of the things that we've suggested is just simple things like scope and purpose of a public records request. Instead of these fishing expeditions that are predatory and often used to just by certain, and you know, bad actors to simply, oh good, I can play gotcha with government, and then we'll settle as government over a page missing or, you know, a small thing that happened because it's cheaper than going to court, and it's ridiculous. So we've got people who are using this Public Record Act as a predatory effort to, and I'm not saying the press is in this category, they are not, but we have individuals who use it as a money-making scheme to play government gotcha, and then that's been proven over and over again across the state. So it is a pervasive problem. Whether we will have the political power to change it in the future, I don't know, but certainly we should at least address the rulemaking in it. Molly, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you raising this to our attention.
I also wanted to make a statement for any members of the public who are listening to this with regard to the moving from 1% to 3% cap on the property tax. It would not be an automatic thing. It would just give different jurisdictions the option of making that decision to raise the taxes higher. It would still be the public conversation, public hearings, all that stuff for each individual jurisdiction. It would not be an automatic anything. So don't be sweating about that one. Any other, did you have anything else, Molly?
Nope, that was it.
Martin has something. Sabrina, where could we find that letter that you guys wrote?
I just asked staff to send that out to Island County so that they can distribute it to you, because we did send that. And then I'm confirming whether or not we sent it to Clyde Chavers and Dave Paul, because I'm not sure. I remember reviewing it, but I don't remember all of the CCs that were on it.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I'll make sure that the board commissioners that are attending in a couple of weeks have some of this information if you're willing to send it out. Molly, thank you. Hey, I have a question from Martin. If this is just, we're just sure. sharing now.
Yep.
As a board commissioner in Coopville, I see that there are a couple proposals potentially in Oak Harbor, one about creating a port district there to help save the harbor, the marina. But the other is also the potential of maybe adjusting the boundaries, which I assume would mean expanding your district to cover all of Oak Harbor. I just wondered how you feel about all that. I'd like to hear from you.
Yeah, sure. It's come up in our meetings a few times, but I don't think to my knowledge, we haven't been, you know, pursuing it with staff or figuring out exact proposed future boundaries or working with any consultants or anything on that. I don't want to speak for the rest of the port, but yeah, my personal opinion is that if the taxpayers want it, then it'll be easy to do and to vote on.
You mean the expansion?
Yeah. I think there's a couple of things that could happen. They could be just the Oak Harbor could create their own port with their voters. We could create a port of Whidbey that encompasses or swallows our two ports and adds a port of Oak Harbor, or there could be a port of Central and North Whidbey that expands the port of Coopville's borders to include Oak Harbor. And I don't think we've done any kind of strategic analysis to figure out which of those approaches is better, if any.
Remember, Kurt, we a few years ago, we had this exact identical conversation when everybody in Oak Harbor wanted the port of Coopville to take over, expand their area and take over the airport on Monroe's Landing. That didn't happen. I don't know.
10 years ago, there was an effort to either create a port of Island County, which didn't go anywhere, and then there was an effort to do a port of Camino, because we have our little 40-foot beach that's the port of Mavana that doesn't have any particular leverage for the, you know, ports have authorities and capacities and different things that make it really valuable to the public. But they tried twice to create a port over here with no success, led by some really influential and important people on this island.
Well, I think maybe we should hear from Sabrina, Melanie.
If it's on, I want to stick on this topic for a second, and then we can move on to something else. Sabrina, is it on this topic?
So the only thing that I was going to say is really our goal with council last night was to make sure that staff was moving in the direction that council wanted.
We need to explain that you were having a meeting that had this on the agenda. I don't think that folks
are aware of that. Thank you, Kurt. Last night at the city council meeting, we had this discussion topic about whether or not we wanted to move forward in this direction regarding the marina. The city staff has been doing several months of work talking to local ports, the Washington State Ports Association, having meetings with the public, gathering input, also looking into B&O taxes and other things due to some of the work that needs to be done at the marina around large scale, big projects that need to be accomplished and the cost for those, as well as the long-term future plans of the marina and our downtown. So with all of that in mind, the conversation was to bring it forward because we've had a lot of workshops around this, but we really wanted to make sure we had clear direction from council going forward. So that was the discussion last night with council asking staff to do that. So that is what we're doing. Again, this is, you know, to the point about strategic analysis, this is a conversation that we are having, and we didn't want staff to get ahead of whatever council's requests or desires were for this. So that is what we were just confirming in last night's meeting, is that we're headed in the same direction.
When I read through some of that, and I didn't read it all, you have an existing commerce grant that you're doing, and tell us about that.
So we had an existing commerce grant that we were doing a change for I don't want to say change order because I don't think that's the correct terminology for that, but we were modifying it, and this was one of the things we decided that we would look at modifying it for. So we have been working closely with our legal team around that because we really want to talk about the economic development opportunities that a port could bring to the area, especially with, again, a separate topic that was on last night's agenda was about Sea Clear and the work they're doing about redevelopment opportunities for our downtown. So those are all items that we were talking about, and especially when we consider the growth requirements that are coming to this area, and especially in Oak Harbor, these are all factors for long-term planning that we're trying to address.
So you want to modify that grant so that it can include some investigation into the value of a port district.
And
That's
that is
all I was trying to, and you voted last night to go ahead with that. Is that what you're saying?
we are working towards that, yes. And so we are just working closely with our legal team because, again, we don't want to get into any trouble with doing anything we're not supposed to do. So we're making sure to focus the grant in the areas that we can pursue. And so we've been working on the language to modify that grant to do that. So we had some dollars in some funding from the state and what for economic development, and we've split them into two categories, one of which is related to a port.
Well, Sabrina, if any of those options include any interaction with the Port of Cookeville, then please reach out. I mean, it's come up in discussions and it definitely doesn't get completely shot down by the
Your meeting
commissioners
ID
at
followed
the
by
Port of
pound.
Cookeville.
No, we appreciate that. Thank you. One of the things that again, I just want to be clear that one of the reasons we have not continued or started next step conversations with other ports on the island is because we wanted to make sure one of the things I said last night was cart before the horse. We really wanted to work closely with our council and not go too far down a road without getting their, confirmation of how they wanted us to proceed. So that's what we were doing, is just confirming that we're all on the same path and that this is the direction our council wants us to go. And now we will be working with staff because we had some initial meetings. I want to say it was back in September, October, and we're moving forward with next steps now. So, and Mayor Wright has been out ill, unfortunately. So we're just waiting for him to get back to the office so that we can start progressing in those paths.
Okay.
Veronica, just a FYI, this is still the COG meeting. Your meeting, the IRTPO doesn't start till 9 o'clock or till 10 o'clock, so don't be concerned about that.
Okay, no problem. I'll hide my video.
I have an announcement if we can go to another
Yeah,
topic.
Janet.
So I want to follow up on the Fix Our Ferries meeting. I want to thank you guys for participating in that meeting with the governor. That was a rare opportunity, and I felt he was really responsive to the issues that we were talking about that there. You will be getting emails, and I apologize. I didn't mean to create a separate email list. I meant to just create a list of people I'm going to keep. On February 5th and 6th, we will have a Fix Our Ferries lobby day, which will be chambers and local electeds and others in Olympia, specifically around the issue of ferries. Governor Ferguson has put in an additional more funding than Governor Inslee had put in, as well as says some divergent ideas about how do we make sure we get us back operational as soon as possible. While still trying to meet our climate goals. So I will be sending out to you, Sabrina. I'm adding Ronnie to the list, but I don't know how much he's interested in ferry issues. Your neck of the woods, we care about bridges. But I did
He's
want to make
interested.
sure either way. Okay, so you'll be getting an email, and on this one, it is you are the last meeting. I was asked to facilitate the meeting, but was not the host of that meeting. This one, feel free to forward it to anyone you want. This is a coalition of counties and allies across the region who are working on ferry construction, workforce, and other issues. I'll send the white paper around as soon as I get it. I'm not, Melanie, I'm going to say you owe me on this. I'm not sure how this landed in my lap because my district just has bridges, but I'm happy to do the work. And I wanted you guys to be aware. I've set up meetings with Senator Mazzal on Wednesday the 5th, and Representative Shavers and Paul are also working. We've got them scheduled. I'll send those meetings, and you can join any of them as well as the other ongoing efforts around ferry advocacy.
Thank you.
Janet, are these meetings that we need to go to Olympia to participate in, or will they be have a Zoom feature? Or
no, they're all in person in Olympia.
Okay.
I am happy to take if someone in this group would like to draft a letter from Island County Council of Government for me to take with the white paper from the coalition saying this is why this is really important, I'm happy to carry your flag for you. I will be down there for other meetings as well. I have like three different sets of meetings around those 2 days down in Olympia. And I'm happy to carry the flag, but I wanted to make sure if you wanted to come down and walk the halls, please, please, please let me know.
Okay. And can you send itineraries for the 5th and 6th? Would we need to be there both days?
Nope. You can choose whatever you want.
Okay.
And the other folks we were inviting is, of course, the chambers, Chambers of Commerce, EDC, ferry advisory committees. And again, this one, feel free to forward it to other folks you think are interested in this. This is different than the last one where I was very careful not to overstep with a meeting that was really the governor's meeting.
So would there be value, Janet, then in the COG writing a letter? One of the things I just really want to make sure that the legislature understands is how important it is that we replace the second vote in the Coopville route.
Yeah, and that came up at our meeting, the importance of that second vote. And the WashDOT Ferry was talking about their, you know, trying to get there. You're 100%, and I'm happy to take any, if anybody wants, I can, you know, just send me your priorities and I'll mush it into a letter and take it down with us. But I just want to make sure you all feel that you have a voice. This is one of the most critical issues for our islands, is these ferry conversations. It was really interesting, and Kurt might speak to this, the conversations about passenger ferries that came up in that meeting and the potential for passenger ferries in our, particularly on Whidbey. And so there is a commitment to get us fully restored, and conversations about things like don't pull a boat offline till we finish the last upgrade. There's workforce issues. Nichols Brothers is involved in these conversations because of the workforce in our islands. I'll be going down to visit them next week again, if anybody wants to join me on that, although we're visiting the Everett Boatyard. So just wanted to reach out and say, hey, whatever you guys want to send in, or, you know, we'll put it together into a key talking points and I'll get it back out and we'll send it down on This is the Voice of Island County.
Probably the most significant thing that I heard from the governor, he was the governor-elect at the time, and thank you. That was a great meeting. A lot of great representatives, including the director of Washington State Ferries, as well as everybody else involved with ferries at the legislature, Janet. It was an honor that it was done in Clinton. Molly, you wouldn't, I mean, you'd have been impressed. Basically, the governor said, if we can't build enough ferries, whether they're electric or hybrid, we're going to have to build diesel ferries because we're going to have to get some ferries out there now. And I haven't heard that come from any of the state level individuals for years. So I thought that was interesting and hopefully promising. And he said it basically, it would just be a step. I mean, it's not like until the technology becomes more available and they can go to either a better hybrid or a more affordable hybrid or a more available hybrid or electric, that it will do something. So we'll see if we can hold them to that. But I thought that was a pretty strong commitment.
Yeah, the challenge is the maker or the builder of the Mark IV is no longer in business, so we'd have to find a new company. But Maverick Marine and LeConnor builds ferries, and they're doing an amazing job building these incredibly fuel-efficient diesel ferries, and they're getting sent to San Francisco Bay Area. And so when I toured Maverick Marine, I was like, you know, really, I'd like to see these come locally, local jobs, local ferries, local, you know, economic impact. So there are environmentally sensitive ways to build a diesel ferry. We don't have to go back to the old heavily pollutant ways. There is division among the state leadership, the secretary of trans, not secretary, the head of the Senate Transportation Committee is pretty committed to wanting to stay the course on hybrid and electric. But I did hear that from the governor-elect as well. And so, you know, getting us back to sustainable capacity in throughout Puget Sound.
Thank you for the invitation to the meeting, Janet. I was there, Kurt, at the meeting. The thing that I was really excited about is that just the first of all, the fact that he starts out the whole meeting by saying, I consider Washington State ferries in crisis. I was just happy to hear that. And the common sense he applied that has been missing from our ferry system, like why are we pulling out the two biggest boats to retrofit them for electric when we can't, when we don't have enough ships? I mean, and that's an 18-month process. So another thing he said, which I think I'm sure he'll be able to follow through on, is that they've got one in that's been offline for 18 months, and he's not going to start the process on the second ferry. So that big ferry will stay in the inventory until we get some more boats. I think the most important thing that I never hear anybody say or acknowledge is that, like, the Transportation Committee wants to talk about how wonderful it is that we're going to get five new ferries. I don't know how long you guys have all been around, but we were supposed to have gotten the first of the five new ferries this year in 2025. And now they're saying it's going to be in 2028, but they still have not signed a contract. So I want to believe that. I mean, if we don't get it in the first one in 2028, I don't know what's going to happen to us. But the thing that no one acknowledges, everybody just wants to hype the five new ferries. By the time the five new ferries are built, there's going to be no net gain our ship inventory. In 5 years, yeah, we'll have five new ferries, but we will not have any more in inventory. The two 60-year-old ferries and the 70-year-old ferry, I mean, just crossing your fingers, they can stay on the water until the new ferries come in. But there's no net gain. We are so far behind. So, yeah. You know, I know it sounds incredibly greedy, and I know that the state doesn't want to commit more than 2 or 3 years in a row. But what's really important is the next five ferries. It is a commitment that this is the understanding that we have neglected our ferry inventory for so long that these five ferries are not going to catch us up. It's not going to be really any more boats. It will be more hopefully reliable boats in the system, but it's not going to be any more boats to fill the routes that aren't fully covered right now.
Jack Schwab, who is on the Ferry Advisory Council, made the point about the inventory and the lifespan of our vessels and what we need to actually do to create a sustainable vessel replacement program that doesn't have us going 20 years beyond the lifespan of a vessel, which then we have all the maintenance outages and all of that. He had really good sort of analytical data on that really supports what Molly's saying.
Okay, I think I'm going to have to adjourn this meeting because we only have two more minutes.